Welcome to Super Freakonomics, where we explore the hidden side of everything. I'm Stephen Levitt, and along with my co-author Stephen Dubner, we're about to take you on a journey that challenges conventional wisdom and reveals surprising truths about our world. The power of incentives. Let's start with a fundamental principle that drives human behavior: incentives. People respond to incentives, often in unexpected ways. Take, for example, the case of prostitution in Chicago. We found that a street prostitute earns roughly $27 per hour, while a high-end call girl can make $400 or more. Why such a disparity? It's all about incentives and market forces. The street prostitute faces higher risks of violence, arrest, disease, and thus demands a wage premium. But she also operates in a saturated market with little differentiation. The high-end escort, on the other hand, offers a premium experience with lower risks, allowing her to command a much higher price. This isn't just about sex work. It's a lesson in how incentives shape markets across all industries. Consider another example: suicide bombers. Why would someone buy life insurance if they plan to die? It turns out that some terrorist organizations encourage their bombers to purchase policies to avoid suspicion and provide for their families. This counterintuitive behavior reveals how even the most extreme actions can be influenced by economic incentives. Unintended consequences. Now, let's talk about unintended consequences. Good intentions don't always lead to good outcomes. Take child car seats, for instance. We all want to protect our children, but our analysis showed that for children age 2-6, car seats are no more effective at preventing fatalities than regular seat belts. This doesn't mean car seats are useless, they do reduce injuries, but it illustrates how well-meaning policies can sometimes fall short of their intended goals. Or consider the war on cancer. Despite billions spent on research and treatment, cancer death rates haven't improved as much as we'd hope. Why? Part of the problem is misaligned incentives. Doctors are incentivized to prescribe chemotherapy even when it's unlikely to help, because doing something feels better than doing nothing. Patients, desperate for hope, often demand treatment even when the odds are poor. The result? A lot of suffering and expense for marginal benefits. These examples show that good intentions aren't enough. We need to carefully analyze the actual outcomes of our policies and interventions, not just their intended effects. The power of simple solutions. One of the most surprising things we've discovered is that complex problems often have simple solutions. Take hand washing in hospitals. In the 19th century, Dr. Ignaz Semmelweis discovered that simply having doctors wash their hands between patients dramatically reduced mortality rates. Yet he was ridiculed and ignored by the medical establishment of his time. Today, we face a similar situation with global warming. While politicians debate complex cap and trade schemes, we found a surprisingly simple and cost-effective solution: pumping sulfur dioxide into the stratosphere to mimic the cooling effects of a volcanic eruption. It's controversial, sure, but it illustrates how thinking outside the box can lead to innovative solutions. The economics of everyday life. Let's bring things down to earth and look at some everyday scenarios. Did you know that walking drunk is actually more dangerous than driving drunk per mile traveled? It's true. We crunched the numbers and found that you're about 8 times more likely to get killed walking a mile drunk than driving a mile drunk. This doesn't mean you should drive drunk. Both are dangerous, but it shows how our intuitions about risk can often be wrong. Or consider this: why do most drug dealers still live with their moms? We gained unprecedented access to the financial records of a Chicago gang and found that the average foot soldier in the drug trade earns less than minimum wage. Only those at the very top make the big bucks. It's a lot like a tournament economy, where thousands compete for a few top spots. These examples show how economic principles can help us understand everything from crime to transportation safety. By looking at the data and incentives at play, we can gain insights that challenge our preconceptions. Rethinking social norms. Finally, let's talk about how economic thinking can reshape our understanding of social norms. Take altruism, for instance. We tend to think of it as a purely selfless act, but our research suggests otherwise. When we set up an experimental game where people could give money to strangers, we found that most people gave very little unless they thought they might meet the recipient later. This doesn't mean altruism doesn't exist, but it does suggest that even our most noble behaviors are influenced by incentives and self-interest. Understanding this can help us design better systems for encouraging pro-social behavior. Or consider the case of Kitty Genovese, whose murder in New York City became a symbol of urban apathy. The story goes that 38 witnesses saw or heard the attack but did nothing. In reality, the number of witnesses was far smaller, and several did try to help. The lesson? Don't always trust conventional narratives. Dig into the data and you might find a very different story. In conclusion, superfreakonomics is about seeing the world as it really is, not as we wish it to be. By applying economic thinking to everyday life, we can uncover hidden truths, challenge assumptions, and maybe even make the world a little bit better. So the next time you encounter a perplexing problem or a counterintuitive situation, remember, think like a freak. You might be surprised at what you discover.